A voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. All right, that's our next little segment, our little poetic unit, our little oracle here. That's oracle number 2 in this chapter. Okay, let's look at it a little closer. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. You know what's going on here? This is a royal road crew, is the way I put it. I mean, for example, in St. Paul, the roads are atrocious. The snow has finally melted, but it's a real hazard to drive down the street. Why? Because there are so many potholes after this terrible winter that we've been through. There's potholes everywhere. It's as if we were bombed. It's like after the Blitz of London. You know, and you're driving, and you're just driving, and suddenly you see, oh, there's a, oh my, you know, and you do this thing with the wheel, and you're just like, people are careening all over the road trying to avoid these potholes. So that's the situation here in ancient Judea after the exile, the prophet envisions the return of the king, that the king is coming, and so ahead of the king's arrival and the royal retinue and the parade when the king comes, the prophet is sending out a road crew to fill in the potholes, remove the stones, clear the way for the king's entourage that's going to be coming, marching into Zion. And this is a picture that he's going to return to several times in Isaiah 40 through 66. And it should invoke for us, it should invoke what we saw a couple, can I get this on your sheet? Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 35, 8. Remember this highway of holiness? I think that was just last week, wasn't it? Yeah. Isaiah 35, 8. There's another highway scene. A highway between Egypt and Assyria.
Why not Babylon and Rome?
Right. Well,
yeah.
All roads lead to Rome.
Okay.
So, That's it. That's all. Oh, for example, we'll find another, we'll return to this theme in Isaiah 62 where it says, go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the peoples. Okay? Sounds, do you hear the build up?
Not so.
Yeah, well, twice. I'm looking at the repetitions here. Same concept. In Jewish sources, this is understood to be a call to repentance. That going out and clearing the highway refers to clearing away the sins and the iniquities that are holding back the redemption. So, this is also considered to be connected with Elijah's ministry. That Elijah is the one who's supposed to come and call Israel to repentance in preparation for the coming of Messiah. We know this from Malachi chapter 4. Before the great day of the Lord, the prophet Isaiah will appear, and he will say to, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers, and he'll preach repentance. This is the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Did I say Isaiah?
Yeah, you're
yeah, I think I was mixing up. I said Isaiah. I meant Elijah. Eliyahu. The guy with the camel hair coat. There we go.
There's not going to be a literal highway going from Egypt to Assyria. This is metaphorical.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't know that.
Oh,
I could. There could well be a literal highway. But I'm just telling you how Jewish tradition sees this. Especially this road crew imagery. It's a call to repentance. Okay? He says he will. He's prepare the way. So the Targum translates this verse. I think that's verse 3. Yeah, verse 3 translates this verse. Prepare ye the way before the people of the Lord. Cast up a highway in the plain before the congregation of our God. I thought that was interesting that the Targum considered the highway to be a metaphor for the people of God. Prepare ye the way before the people of the Lord. A highway in the plain before the congregation of our God. So it's the people that are walking on this road that's being repaired. All right. Next verse. Verse 4. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Now, if you have ever been to Israel and spent any length of time outside of a tour bus in Israel, you'll understand this metaphor perfectly. Israel is a vertical land. It's up and down and up and down and up and down with very little flat. And so you don't walk very far before you realize up is hard. Yes. Up is difficult. And especially in the hill country of Judea, up can be extremely steep and very difficult and exhausting. And so you begin to start to look for flat. You know, and this is what dictates roads. You know, when we're talking about roads, building a road, what dictates roads is avoiding up and down. So paths stay on the highland, or they follow a valley, or staying up on the ridges is ideal. So when we say lower the mountains and raise the valleys, this is really the same as what the previous verse was saying about smooth out the road. That's the idea. But this becomes a really important idea in other prophecies as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not referring to a literal.
Well, that's exactly what Joel was asking. Is there a literal highway? And I'm not saying there's not going to be a literal highway. There already are literal highways, and there will probably be more literal highways in the future. But in this passage, he's talking metaphorically about preparing for the redemption. And he's using the imagery of highway building. So we're not literally talking about lowering mountains and lifting up valleys either, although some people think so. There's one.
How is that lowering mountains, raising up? How does that equate with? Why is he using that to talk about repentance?
Oh well, I'll tell you why. In fact, we could study this in the. Why is that a good metaphor for repentance? When we get into the New Testament material, I don't know if I was going to go here or not. I don't remember. No, it doesn't look like I was going to even touch this anyway. Oh, yeah, I have it on here. Have you ever heard Yeshua say anything like, whoever's lifted up will be lowered, and whoever's lowly or humble will be lifted up? He's deriving that from Isaiah. This is so it's the idea of the kingdom's inversion principle. The first will be last, the last will be first. The mountain will be lowered, the valley will be lifted up. It's the same kind of idea of reversing the values of this world. I read one rabbi who put it this way. So what does Isaiah mean by the mountains will be lowered and the valleys will be lifted up? It means that the things that are valued in this world will be despised. They'll be of no account in the kingdom. And the things that are not valued in this world will be the things that are valuable in the kingdom. Which is really the thrust of Yeshua's teaching all the time. It's kind of at the center of his whole ethic. And so I would explain it that way. However, there's other connections that we can make. For example, earlier in Isaiah chapter 2, we read this prophecy. It will come about in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as chief among the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills. Again, not literally, but the point is that Mount Moriah in Jerusalem will become more important than any other height, any other prominent place in the world. The Temple Mount. One rabbi I read had a different theory. He took it literally. He said, how is the Holy Land going to fit all these people? Well, here's the thing. The Holy Land is wrinkled, you know? So what God's going to do, he's just going to stretch it out. It's going to be huge. Right now, it's just this little tiny sliver of territory, but if you took all the wrinkles out and stretch it out so that you don't have any hills or valleys, this is a very large piece of property. No, I don't think that's it. Another passage. This one's from... This is an important messianic passage. This ties in. This is worthwhile. I'm taking you to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. The prophet says, what are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain. And he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace to it. It's a great prophecy. Zerubbabel. Who is Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel is the Davidic prince. He would be king. He is the man from the line of David who should be king if Cyrus and the Persians allowed a king to be established. So he is an ancestor of Yeshua. He represents the Messiah. And so the prophet is saying, the prophet says, you big mountain, you think you're in the way of Zerubbabel? Well, you're going to be lowered. You're going to be flattened out. This is just a metaphoric way of saying, whatever the big problem is, it's going to be removed. The obstacle is going to be removed. So the obstacle to the messianic dynasty, to the success of the king, is going to be removed. And that's what Isaiah has in mind. By lowering mountains and raising valleys, we are removing the obstacles to success. Okay? This gives, Isaiah in the New Testament, this should help you to understand what Yeshua means when he says, anyone who has even a mustard seed of faith will be able to say to this mountain, get up and move, and he'll be able to move it and cast it into the sea. It's not literal. This is a biblical way of talking about removing obstacles, of removing problems and obstacles in your path. I don't know, have you ever tried it? Just let's say, well, the Bible says that I believe it, I'm going to move a mountain. For one, you've tried.
Yes.
Well, if you, yeah.
I'm sure you know the outcome. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
No.
Did it shake your faith?
No.
No. Okay.
It didn't make me feel
very
good about it either.
Right. Well, you realize you don't even have a mustard seed of faith. You see, that's kind of the inevitable outcome of taking that passage literally is to say, well, I guess I don't even have a mustard seed of faith. Yeah. Which is, that's not what it means. It's just not what it means. Right.
It means obstacles are